begin, could you tell me a little bit about your own background?
I am originally from Ontario. I obtained my bachelor's degree and then doctorate, so PhD, at Queen's University in Kingston. So from the mid-90s to the mid-2000s. I then went to Chicago, Illinois, to Northwestern University to do my postdoctoral training with Dr. Mary Hendrick. So during this training, I was really focused on how factors surrounding tumors and also stem cells affect their behavior. And so that was really the work that I was doing. I then came back to Canada in 2007 to start my own independent program at the then University of Western Ontario, and really brought all of my training together, and we began to focus on female cancers, so in particular breast cancer at that point, and trying to understand how the very worst of breast cancers, so those that spread throughout the body, are able to do so.
And what brought you to Alberta?
I came to Alberta actually with almost my entire research team for a number of reasons. One is really, I guess, underlined with all these chair positions, and it really illustrates the collaborative nature of what we're doing here. It was an opportunity we saw to work with surgeons and medical oncologists, other biochemists, and great scientists to address an important question, and that is, how do we detect ovarian cancer, so a woman's cancer that affects many women with poor survival rates, so how do we detect that earlier, and how do we better treat these advanced women's cancers, so advanced ovarian cancer and advanced breast cancer? And I emphasize collaboration because these are really difficult questions, and we felt that the best opportunities would actually come from working with this really great multidisciplinary team.
Well, amongst the many, many chairs, research chairs that you hold, one of them is the new Alberta Innovates Health Solutions Translational Health Research Chair in Cancer. What is the point of that particular chair?
The chair is really meant probably for a number of things. It's almost an accelerator. So it infuses money strategically into the research program so that we can accelerate the rate at which we are making advancements in the area of cancer. So being able to take larger risks and perhaps find that biomarker for ovarian cancer quicker, taking larger risks and finding better targets for metastatic disease. In addition, it's really capacity building. So I came myself, but brought 8 members of my research team. So these are PhD students as well as MDs and PhDs. So there's capacity there. And then also a new perspective really to Alberta, and that is looking at how epigenetics, so things that aren't simply in the genetic code or mutations, can help to drive cancer and how we might actually be able to target that. And so a lot of what we're doing is collaborating with researchers throughout the province and adding new expertise.
So when you say epigenetics, could you explain that a little bit more?
The best way that I can explain it is if you think of forensics, so shows like CSI and that type of thing, where they can tell who a person is, whether there's a hair sample or a cheek sample, so a spit sample, because all the DNA code is the same. So that's the genetic code. And in cancer, we know there are mutations, so there's alterations to the genetic code that can help cancer to occur. We also appreciate that on top of this genetics is what we call epigenetics. So it's everything that's written onto the DNA that isn't the code. And it's what makes a skin cell, and a blood cell, a blood cell. And so it's dictated during development. And in cancer, a lot of that writing, the epigenetic writing that dictates how a cell should behave, is kind of lifted. And we actually call it development undone.
Oh, what does that mean?
So we think of this as advanced cancers being in absolute chaos. So if you think about early development and when a sperm and an egg come together and they make this amazing baby, it's a perfectly orchestrated system, and it works almost all of the time. And so the cells that will become the skin know to do that. The cells that become the gut know to do that. And when we look at the system or look even under a microscope, we can tell absolutely what that cell is, where it is, and how it should be functioning. And in advanced cancers, that's completely undone. So the cells don't look at all like they should look. They don't behave as they should. They behave like stem cells some of the time and other cells, you know, other times. And they're characterized by an undoing of those epigenetic marks that are placed during development.
So what on earth do you do with that?
So we're asking the questions of what is it about tumor? So this could be its genetics, but then also its surroundings as it's growing and spreading that allow it to change and to become adaptable. So we're looking at that so that we can come in and target it. So you can imagine if we have a very advanced cancer that could have 20,000 different mutations in various permeations, that it might be difficult to go in and attack each one of those different changes. But if we attack the core that allows the cell to adapt, we might have a better shot. And that's really what we're trying to do, understanding the factors that allow those cancer cells to change and to adapt.
So if you look at the name of your chair, the translational health, how would you define translational? Is that getting knowledge across in some way?
It really is. And in medical research, we think of translational as moving these great discovery ideas that we're having in the lab to the clinic. And so moving it through all of the various stages where, you know, we have intellectual property, so some of the business aspects of it, to expansion and testing, and then all the way into patients. And, you know, it's really another reason why we moved here to Alberta, and that's the capacity to do that. So the Cross Cancer Institute here in Edmonton houses one of the best clinical trials programs in the country, and it has a very strong what we call phase one clinical trial program. And so phase one is the first test in humans that after we make sure that it's safe in everything and all our other model systems. So translational is really moving our discoveries in the lab, which a lot of times are eureka moments, all the way through validation to making sure that it would be safe to target it, for example, and then into the clinic.
So with your chair and the help that you're getting from Alberta Innovates Health Solutions, how long is this for and how much money are you being funded?
So the AIHS chair is for $300,000 a year for 7 years. So this is $2.1 million over 7 years. So it's a fairly substantial amount. And importantly, it's over enough time to really be able to do something with it. 7 years is a good amount of time.
So what do you have lined up on your agenda in terms of some of these projects you're going to work on?
So I always describe it as a continuum. So we're really looking at a protein that we discovered plays an important role in this epigenetic plasticity I was describing about 10 years ago now. And we've been going through the process of validating and testing and making reagents and model systems to be able to test whether targeting this might be a good idea. So over the next 7 years, that's one of the projects we'll be doing. So really moving this through the pipeline, the translational continuum toward the clinic. So that's one of them. Another aspect that we're really focused on is trying to find better biomarkers for ovarian cancer so that we can try to detect the disease earlier. And this is really a discovery-based approach using high-end technologies like proteomics and even nanotechnology. So that's at the very early discovery phase as we're moving through. And then we have a number of projects that are also based on just discoveries we're making in the lab. And so new targets that we wouldn't have imagined a few years ago that could be a next target for therapy as we're moving through the pipeline. So I'd say it really truly represents the continuum from discovery, which we absolutely need. If we don't continue to discover, we're not going to have new things to target, all the way through testing those discoveries we have made for their potential as targets for cancer.
Well, I really look forward to checking in with you a few months down the road and seeing what kind of progress you've made. Thank you very much, Lynn.
No problem. It's my pleasure.